Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon Program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we get an update from the crew of the USS Minnesota, the 10th Virginia-class fast attack submarine under construction in Newport News, Virginia. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
The Minnesota National Guard has long trained for emergency contingencies when civilian authorities call us for help. We have trained for severe flooding, out-of-control fires, and search and rescue missions. But there is a new threat our soldiers and airmen are training for now. One of my top priorities is to increase the National Guard's capacity to combat cyber warfare. Cyber warfare is internet-based conflict involving attacks on information and information systems. Cyber attacks can disable official websites and networks, disrupt or disable essential services, steal or alter classified data, and cripple our financial systems. The Minnesota National Guard has full-time staff whose job it is to track cyber issues and keep us ahead of a cyber attack. We have also identified traditional drilling soldiers within our force who are capable of being called up to fight a cyber attack or a cyber-triggered traditional emergency. Such an emergency would require a coordinated response among several agencies and levels of government. We are working with other state, local, and federal agencies to develop these relationships and to establish plans for execution for various scenarios. I am proud to tell you that the Department of Military Affairs conducts cyber response rehearsals annually and is consistently preparing to address cyber warfare in Minnesota head-on.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. On today's show, we had an opportunity to interview the commander and the chief of the boat of the USS Minnesota at a special dinner that was held in downtown Minneapolis. Throughout the show, we had interviews with them and Mike Altieri from the Navy League and Chip Langan from Defense Alliance. So here we go, off to Stella's Fish Cafe. Gentlemen, welcome to Minneapolis, and we are live from Stella's Fish Cafe for the USS Minnesota dinner, sponsored by the Defense Alliance in partnership with the Twin Cities Council, the Navy League, and FedEx Corporation.
Hey, thanks,
Commander,
for having
welcome
us,
back, sir.
Thanks, oh, thanks. It's great to be here.
Glad you brought the chief of the boat with you this time. When we talked to you last December, you were busy, Chief, Master Chief.
I was, sir. Another Navy tasking had me out and about, so I'm glad to be back, and I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. Commander, when we spoke to you last, we were talking about the USS Minnesota, and at that point you had laid the keel, and they're working on construction of the boat. Can you give us an update on the submarine and
no,
what it is and where we're at?
No, we just went through another major key milestone referred to as pressure hull complete. The easiest way to describe that is it looks like a real submarine now. It's not in the water yet, but it is one big 377-foot-long submarine.
That's a long boat.
And you know, there's still about 12 months of work to be done, but most of it's internal and, you know, putting systems together inside the hull. But it looks like a submarine.
And Commander, just for our listeners, how long does it take from when they start construction to when it's complete and it's commissioned and in the water?
A good estimate is about 5 years from when they start bending the first amount of metal and to the point that it's delivered to the Navy.
And you've been with the boat for how long, sir?
About just over 18 months so far.
And is all of your crew in place now?
We have just about everyone. We're missing one officer and about seven enlisted. So I'd say about 95% we're there.
Now, is your crew on site during the construction on a daily basis?
Absolutely. Really what we do is we provide a lot of testing. I mean, really what we do is, you know, the shipyard constructs the submarine, and the Navy wants a Navy crew to test it and certify it and make sure that it's ready to go to sea.
So actually, you're there watching or participating? Chief, how does Master Chief, how does this work?
We're there watching it, obviously, but another large portion of our time is spent working on qualifications and training. So a lot of times our guys are out riding submarines and working on qualifications because a lot of times in this process we get a lot of new people that have never been on a submarine. So it's 50% of the time they're there, 50% of the time they're gone working on qualifications to help us out in the end game.
Now, the USS Minnesota is going to be the 10th Virginia-class fast attack submarine. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And how does that compare with the submarines that are going out of service now?
Well, the main group of submarines out there now are Los Angeles class. Virginia class is a little bit larger. It's about 1,000 tons larger than a Los Angeles class and about 10 feet longer, just a little bit bigger, 34-foot diameter. The main difference, though, between a Virginia class and the older submarines is it's the first submarine designed completely after the Cold War. So it was specifically designed for the post-Cold War era, a lot of shallow water, littoral combat kind of situations, and be able to support special operations.
Now, Commander, as I recall, this is a nuclear-powered submarine?
Yes, sir. The United States, that's all we have is nuclear-powered submarines for the Navy.
And that's designed to be in service for, was it 33 years?
About 33 years. The number that most people throw out is 30 years, a little bit over 30 years. And another particular special design of this new submarine is the fact that the nuclear reactor core is designed to last the entire, that entire life, that 30 years. So it'll never need to be refueled, which will be the first time for a class of submarines. We've always had to refuel them in the past, at least once.
So except for taking care of the crew, you could go to sea and stay out there for a long time.
Yeah, very long time. We're pretty much just limited by food.
Food and water, you got to take care of your crew, right, Master Chief?
That's right. Got to keep them fed or they're not happy with us.
Now, is the crew getting excited now? You've just finished which stage now that it's encapsulated?
The pressure hull complete. The next stage is christening. That's when the sponsor, Miss Ellen Roughhead, will do the ceremonial champagne bottle smashing on the hull.
And that'll be this fall sometime?
That'll be this fall, either late October, early November. And then shortly after that, we'll put it in the water. And then about 6 more months of fitting out and testing, and then we'll take it to sea.
Master Chief, must be exciting. A lot of the pictures I've seen were just kind of circular, and you couldn't tell it was a submarine, but now the hull's intact, looks like what it's supposed to from the outside,
yeah,
doesn't it?
It's real exciting. The crew's really charged up and excited about it now because, like you said before, all they've seen was pieces, but now they see a submarine and ready to do their job. So they're very excited and ready to start this next tedious process of getting the submarine turned over from the shipyard to the Navy where it's theirs and they take ownership of it and we can take it to sea.
Master Chief, I can only guess. I was in the Air Force, but as you're there watching the boat being constructed, once you take possession of it and it's commissioned and you take it to sea, your crew has to take care of it and maintain it and so forth. So watching it being constructed has to be a good learning experience for the whole crew, doesn't it?
It is. Especially when you're attached to the ship during this process, you'll see parts of the ship that probably won't get seen throughout the rest of its life. So it puts a little bit more realism to what they're learning because they're able to see how it went together, how it's supposed to work, and when it works in the end, they're a lot more educated on that.
So they remember how it was all constructed.
Right.
And if something breaks down, they kind of know where to look.
And being that they've seen every step of the process, you know, every little piece and part that's gone into it, it just means that much more to them.
Commander, we got to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk a little bit about the rest of the job of bringing the boat to life, and then what you think about the sea trials and the tests coming up in the future. We're speaking with Commander John Foncher and Chief of the Boat, Randy Reed, from the USS Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We had an opportunity to talk with the crew of the USS Minnesota, and now back to the interview. Commander, could you just tell us what are the rest of the steps to bring the boat to life? And how long is that going to take?
No, absolutely. We pretty much left off talking about christening with the champagne bottle. After that, a few days later, we put it in the water. We do some more testing on it. We test out the reactor plant and the forward systems, the combat systems. Eventually, about 4 months after we put it in the water, it becomes what's referred to as habitable. The CNO puts it in service, which means we're able to live on it and eat on it. And then the crew, is fully resident on the submarine at that point for the next 2 months. We continue testing it. Then we'll take it to sea. Right now we're scheduled probably around May of next year to take it to sea. And then continue the testing. We'll test out every system to its fullest capabilities, and then it'll be delivered. And then after that is commissioning. And that's when, you've heard us refer to Minnesota as the pre-commissioning unit, Minnesota. And that's when we stop calling it that and then start calling it the USS Minnesota. And that'll be next summer.
Commander, it's a long process. Do you think the day is ever going to come when you get to take it to sea?
Well, eventually it will. I got the honor of riding on, the ninth Virginia-class submarine was the Mississippi that was just commissioned on June 2nd down in Pascagoula, Mississippi. I got to ride on its alpha sea trials, its initial sea trials. And it's kind of like walking around that ship saying, yes, it's coming. It's eventually going to get here.
Commander, can you tell us just a little bit about its armament and capabilities?
Sure. First and foremost, it's a submarine, so its bread and butter is anti-submarine warfare, so it carries torpedoes, 21-inch torpedoes, that can go against submarines or other surface ships. It also carries Tomahawk cruise missiles basically we have 12 vertical launch tubes that we put cruise missiles into. Then also it's specifically designed to support special operations forces like SEALs, make it easy for them to basically lock in and lock out off the coast somewhere and insert them someplace that they need to go. And then also there's constantly developments going on, unmanned aerial vehicles and undersea unmanned vehicles that get launched by submarines.
A serious submarine, attack submarine with some serious capabilities, isn't it?
When you think about it, it's designed basically back in the 90s, shortly after the Cold War. And, when they designed it, the first submarine's going to last 30 years, and it's a pretty significant building program. The last submarine's probably 50 years after the design. So they had to do some future thinking when they designed it.
Bet they did, and then it's got to last for 30 years.
Yeah.
Master Chief, what do you have to do to train the crew so that they're ready for deployments, and what type of specialties do you need in the crew in order to operate this massive machine?
Well, number one, we've got to be able to eat, so we need great cooks on board. We also, as we talked earlier with the reactor, we have a lot of engineering rates on board, folks that work with nuclear power. With that, we also have conventional engineers on board, folks that make the water in the Air Force, to electronics technicians that repair all the electronic systems on board. As you know, and as we've been talking here, that the Virginia is a lot more electronic and a lot more technologically advanced than submarines in the past. So we've got a full gamut of people on board to help us fix the sub and keep it at sea and do what the nation needs us to do. In the meantime, guys are going to schools, learning their trades. They're also continuing to work on qualifications while they're here with us. We're sending them out at sea with other submarines to go get qualified, so to speak, so that when we get back, we're able to use those guys and use the knowledge that they've gotten and execute what we need to do, which is do crew cert at the end of this and take the submarine to sea.
Commander, once you do take the submarine to sea, are there going to be some short training missions and then some longer deployments?
Oh, absolutely. When we go to sea, the submarine will go to sea for a week at a time, 2 weeks at a time, sometimes as much as 4 or 5 weeks, and that's just training. Or maybe we're going off to another port or something to pull in for other to pick up some weapons or something like that. then we, you know, we continue to train and get ready for what everyone refers to as deployments, which are usually about 6 months. They can be a little bit shorter, a little bit longer, but in general, 6 months. But, you know, the whole process of that training going out for those few weeks at a time and building to the longer deployment is, you know, getting the sailors, getting the crew ready so that it's not a shock to the system when we do go on deployment.
Commander, do you have any idea where the boat's going to be stationed yet?
No. Initially, when it's delivered to the Navy, it'll be stationed in Norfolk, Virginia, until commissioning. Shortly after that, it will transfer up to Groton, Connecticut, for another availability maintenance period. After that, it's unknown at this point.
Master Chief, is there any kind of special training you give the crew and their families to be prepared for the longer deployments?
Absolutely. That's one of the things we spend a lot of time on now. It's one of the things we spend a lot of time on now is keeping the families abreast of the timeline and the schedule that we're up against and what their service members are up against so that they're educated and can plan ahead. So we do very frequent meetings with the families, talk about the schedule and what's coming down, what's the next major keystone event that we need to start working towards.
So as chief of the boat, when the commander gives the orders, you got to make sure the crew can execute them and put it in action, right?
Absolutely.
Commander, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the USS Minnesota?
No, it's been a great mission so far, and I'm very proud to be the first commanding officer. And also, it's important for everybody here in Minnesota to understand the critical investment, that they've made, with their tax dollars, and why it's important, and why we're here to talk about the Minnesota. It's their money at work. So thank you very much.
Commander, Master Chief, thanks for taking some time from your gathering here to share your ideas about the USS Minnesota with our listeners. And appreciate talking to you, and good luck with the USS Minnesota.
Thanks for having us.
That was Commander John Fancher and Chief of the Boat Randy Reed from the USS Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is a U.S. Navy electrician's mate, Gene Ware. Gene acted as a liaison between the commanding officer and the reserve center and, when activated, worked extensively in logistics. As a civilian, Gene has more than 20 years of experience in the legal field, specifically litigation. As an experienced legal secretary, Gene is now looking for permanent employment. Gene and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on their next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Gene, contact the Blaine Workforce Center at 763-785-6488. That's 763-785-6488. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. Coming up next on Minnesota Military Radio, we'll hear from Mike Altieri from the Navy League. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We'll go back to the USS Minnesota dinner in a moment, but first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelido.
It is known fondly as the Star-Spangled Banner. Red, white, and blue, Old Glory, Stars and Stripes, and the list goes on. The American flag is recognized across our country to far-reaching nations, even second and third world countries. Our flag stands as a beacon to the world, representing independence, liberty, patriotism, and freedom. It is a symbol of enduring hope. This coming Thursday, June 14th, is Flag Day. Although this is a little known and even less celebrated day, let's commit to spending some time reflecting on our flag. The flag of the United States of America was first flown over the 13 states on the Atlantic seaboard. Today it represents over 310 million people and flies over 50 states and 5 territories. Although it is just made of cloth, Our flag represents all those throughout history who have stood against our enemies, braved unspeakable conditions and sustained injuries. Some gave their lives. Let us fly it proudly this Thursday with honor and loyalty.
Thank you, Commissioner Shalito. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Now back to our interviews at Stella's. Joining me now is the Secretary of the Navy, Lake Mike Altieri. Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great, Tom. Appreciate it. It's great to be with you.
A little noisy down here tonight. There's a lot of folks down to meet the sailors and the commander and the chief of the boat.
It is. It's a pretty exciting night for the Navy in Minnesota. I know that, you know, when you think of Minnesota, you don't always think of a large Navy contingent. But we actually have three active commands here in town, Navy Recruiting District Minneapolis, what we call the NOSC, or the Navy Operational Support Center, which is the Navy Reservist, as well as the University of Minnesota ROTC Group. So the Navy, there is a Navy presence here in town with active duty commands.
Now, Mike, can you explain to our listeners quickly, what is the Navy League?
Well, the Navy League basically is an organization which fosters maritime support for both for not only the Navy, but the Coast Guard and the Marines, as well as the Merchant Marine. What we do as an organization is we try and lobby Congress on behalf of maritime interests in keeping the sea lanes open. Most of us are former Navy submariners or pilots or Merchant Marine or Marine Corps and or Coast Guardsmen. And so after our time on active duty, we get out and we become involved with the Navy League to make sure that our elected officials know that that the sea lanes are critically and vital to the commerce of the United States. And we do everything in our power to try and lobby them on behalf of the Navy.
Mike, you're a Navy man yourself.
I was. I served a little less than 10 years in the Navy in the submarine force. I was on two different boats. I was on the USS Lewis and Clark, SSBN 644, and the USS Woodrow Wilson, SSN 624. And I was also a nuclear prototype instructor as well.
So you really understand submarines then, don't you?
I do. I've spent a little bit over 5 years of my life on submarines. So I know a little bit about them and the sacrifices that these sailors make to be there, as well as their families.
Now, Mike, we were talking to Commander Fancher about the process of bringing a boat to life. And it takes years, and this is quite the fast attack submarine. It's a serious weaponry system, isn't it?
I always like to say that the World War II guys, they rode on Yugos. I, on my ballistic missile submarines, were on Cadillacs. These guys, they get the Maseratis of the fleet, right?
I bet Commander French would like that one.
These boats are unbelievably highly technical. I mean, I was on board the USS Lewis and Clark in the early 90s. She was commissioned before I was born. And I'm not a young guy. I'm 47. But my boat was commissioned in 1963. I was born in 1964, and I served on her in the early 90s.
Now, tell me about the USS Minnesota. It's my understanding it's the third ship in the Navy to be named Minnesota.
It is the third ship. The first ship was a steamer that was part of the Battle of Hampton Roads, which is also more commonly referred to as the Battle of the Ironclads, the Merrimack versus the Monitor. There was the battleship BB-22. She was part of Teddy Roosevelt's Great White Fleet. And now we have SSN 783, which is part of what I consider the greatest fighting force the world has ever seen, the United States. Navy.
So this is going to be the 10th Virginia-class fast attack submarine in the fleet?
She is. She is the 10th name out of 18. Of course, the 784 is going to be our sister ship and also our sister state, USS North Dakota. So she follows on behind us. She's being built in Groton, Connecticut as we speak right now.
Now, you've been out to see the boat. And you were out for the keel laying ceremony?
I was. I was honored to be invited to the keel laying ceremony, which is something kind of relatively new in naval tradition and history for submarines. Since a submarine really doesn't have a keel, we're not like a surface ship, which has a keel that goes down the middle of the boat. We're just basically a round circle. And so they decided, and I guess the USS Buffalo was the first ship or first submarine to have this ceremony back in 1988, I believe is the year. of where the sponsor comes on and she chalks her initial on a stainless steel plate, and then a shipyard welder comes behind and lays down a weld bead with her initials on there. And it was an exciting event for the state of Minnesota. We should be proud as a state that we have a boat that is going to represent not only the United States of America, but the state of Minnesota around the world.
Now, they've just reached another milestone in the construction because the pressure hull is complete. So from the outside, it looks like a submarine now.
That is correct. There's still a lot to be done on the inside. Being an ex-Navy nuke, I can tell you in the engineering spaces, one of the big things will be do what they call initial criticality of the reactor. She has to be in the water for that to happen, so she has to be launched. And then the engineering guys will be in shift work, 12 on, 12 off, 7 days a week until initial crit's done and all the engineering spaces are tested out.
Now, Mike, does it take a special kind of sailor to be able to go on long deployments on a submarine?
You know what? I always like to say we just do our job. It's just like any other branch of the military. You know, every branch of the military has their pluses and their minuses. We just go out and we just do our job. We're well-trained. We drill every single day when we're out to sea. And we just do what we're supposed to do.
Now, Mike, the boat should be... The next couple steps, it's going to be christened this fall, and then it's going to be commissioned next year. The next year and a half or so is going to be pretty exciting, isn't it?
Very exciting. You know, we're as part of the Navy League, we are tasked by the Secretary of the Navy to assist with the commissioning. We are the host committee. We need to raise somewhere in the neighborhood of between $250,000 and $300,000 for this commissioning to go off. We're well on our way to that. We're being very successful, but we can use everybody's help. You know, I would say for people to go out to ussminnesota.org. We have contact information out there. If you're willing to donate some of your funds or some of your time to the commissioning committee, we'll take both, money and time. We need volunteers, and we need some funds to make this commissioning and make this for the crew. And that's really what it's about, Tom. This commissioning is about the crew and their dependents and everything else. They're going to wear Minnesota on their sleeves, representing us around the world. And it's up to us, the citizens of Minnesota, to make sure that they do it with everything that they at their disposal.
Mike, pretty exciting time for you as Secretary of the Navy League.
It is. And as a former submariner, it really is exciting. As I told you, I served on two boats. I decommissioned both of those boats. I took both of those boats out of the fleet. I just felt it was time for me to be involved on putting a boat back into the fleet. You know, I'm still at a -1 if you count them up, but this is exciting, and I'm really looking forward to the next 18 months.
Mike, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts, and you want to give us that website one more time?
Yeah, it's USS Minnesota. Minnesota.org. And the one thing I always like to leave everyone is the reason that we're doing this is the second stanza of Anchors Away, our Navy song, it goes faith, courage, service true with honor, honor overall. And that's what Navy men are all about, honor overall.
Mike, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Tom. I appreciate the time.
That was Mike Altieri, Secretary of the Navy League on Minnesota Military Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Now we'll go back to our interviews at the USS Minnesota Dinner. Joining me now is the president of the Defense Alliance, Chip Langan. Chip, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Tom.
This is quite a gathering of folks. We've got lots of Navy people here today, and we've had an interesting conversation with the commander and the chief of the boat. Can you tell me, what is the Defense Alliance, and why are you here tonight?
Well, first of all, it's great to be here. I was Navy myself for 21 years. I used to hunt submarines from helicopters. And as I told the skipper, we could only find them if they augmented and pretended like they were a Russian submarine. So they're really good at what they do. We're very proud of them. Defense Alliance is an organization that started about 8 years ago here in the Twin Cities as a way to grow this region as a place that contributes more to Department of Defense needs, especially in high technology and innovation. Minnesota is often referred to as flyover country. I'm sure you've heard that term.
The frozen tundra of the north, I know.
Absolutely, and that's especially the case when it comes to those that are looking for innovative technologies for defense. They look for technologies primarily on the East Coast, West Coast, Florida, Texas, California. But there, as you know, there's a staggering amount of technology and innovation that resides right here in the upper Midwest. And so Defense Alliance is trying to raise the profile of the companies that are members, that want to do more for the nation's defense, to give the right tools to our warriors in uniform. We've been around for about 8 years, and we have 575 corporate members and about 4,500 individuals in the Defense Alliance now.
Chip, you wouldn't think in Minnesota that you'd have that many businesses involved in the defense industry, but we really do, don't we?
I'm surprised every day. I mean, like I said, I've been doing this for about 8 years. And we, when we started, knew about kind of the obvious ones at the time, like Alliant Tech Systems, Lockheed Martin, BAE Systems, the big prime contractors in the area. But then as we started to peel away the layers of who's who in this region, we found out some interesting things, like General Mills, for instance, is the fifth largest defense contractor in the state of Minnesota, at least it was at the time. And then we found out something even more interesting, and that is there's a slew of small companies, anywhere from two people to 500 people, which is the definition of a small business, that do something really innovative, really high technology that either fits in defense right now and they're selling to the Defense Department, want to do more, or they don't know about the opportunities that that represents and the ways in which they can plug in their technology to the DoD. And we're finding new companies every week that come to us and say, I've got this great piece of technology. How can I get this to the battlefield, to the sailor, to the airman, to the Marine, to make his job more effective, more safe, and be more effective for the nation?
So, Chip, what's the mission of the Defense Alliance? What are the things that you work on?
We're here to, as I said, raise the awareness of those who buy things for the Defense Department. That they should look here more often. That's first and foremost. Number two, to mentor small businesses primarily in terms of how better to position themselves to market their technology, their services to the DoD and actually to commercialize product as well.
I suppose it's quite a process to successfully get a contract out of the defense industry.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of people that look at DoD and, or just government contracting generally and say, wow, that's just too hard. And there's some truth to that. But I'll tell you, a lot of the companies that truly are successful are the ones that say, you know what, the opportunity is so great, number one, for the bottom line of the company, and number two, to really contribute to the warrior for his mission success and his safety, that I can't pass up this opportunity. And they just jump into the game. They dive into the pool. Do they make some mistakes along the way? They find out that the paperwork's pretty intense. The auditing is pretty intense. The need to partner with other companies is very important. Yes, they find out those things. But the companies that think about that too much beforehand and shy away from it, I think they lose. They don't even start, which is really a shame. I'd like to see those companies that just jump into the game, make some mistakes, correct themselves as they go, and find out that it's really a fun ride.
So your member companies share some experience and some expertise and help each other figure out how to get through this.
Absolutely. It's all about teamwork, just like it is in the military.
Why, we're here, it's a pretty exciting night. We're bringing a new USS Minnesota to life. The pressure hull is complete, and the christening's coming up and the commissioning next year. Why are you involved with the Navy League to support this?
Well, you know, there's nothing more exciting than seeing a ship come to life. Whether you're in the Navy or any other service or just a civilian, if you ever get a chance to see a U.S. Navy warship of any kind come to life from the time that it gets named to the time the keel is laid to the time it's christened and then commissioned into the Navy, it's amazing the traditions that go along with that. And watching the crew, too, that, for instance, in this case, the crew of the USS Minnesota that came to the Twin Cities to connect what they're doing to the community for which it's named, you really learn about the incredible education, the incredible intellect, the excitement of these sailors and officers for what they do. And it's a great opportunity, especially for the Defense Alliance, to connect what the industry is doing for innovation and high technology, to get some of those things into this ship that's building. This thing is a nuclear submarine. If you've never seen one of them, you've got to go look at it. Try to get to the commissioning. It's unbelievable what's packed into this 350-foot vessel that can go for years without refueling and really be a strategic deterrent for the U.S.
Chip, as a former Navy man, you must be excited about We're a year or a year and a half away from commissioning and taking it to sea. That's going to be a pretty exciting day, isn't it?
Absolutely. I wish I was still active duty, Tom, because I retired in 2004 and wanted to do 30 years. I did 21, but just for a lot of reasons, we came up here, and I still look back and say, geez, I wish I had stayed.
Chip, we're just about out of time. Any final thoughts for our listeners about the Defense Alliance?
The Defense Alliance is a great organization. If you do something for the Defense Department or something you think would fit that would help warriors do a job better on the battlefield or keep them safe, give us a call. Find us on the web at defensealliance.com and connect with us. It's a great way to give back to those who are keeping us free every day.
Chip, thanks for taking some time away from the gathering here and joining us today to tell us about the Defense Alliance and talking about the USS Minnesota.
Yes, sir.
Before we go, here are a few events happening around the state. Central Lakes College in Brainerd will have a Veterans Career Fair on Wednesday, June 13th. It will feature local employers ready to hire veterans, guest speakers, food, and activities for the whole family. The General Vesey chapter of the Association of the U.S. Army will be hosting an Army Birthday and Flag Day celebration at the Minnesota Historic Society on June 14th at 5:30. There will be a reception and private viewing of a rare version of the U.S. Constitution and an even more rare draft of the Bill of Rights. The event costs $25, with proceeds going to support soldiers. Minnesota's Daughters of the Revolution are hosting a 5K in Ramsey on Saturday, June 16th. It's $25 for early registration or $30 the day of the race, proceeds to benefit the Fisher House. Monday, June 18th will be proclaimed Women's Veterans Day, and Teeing It Up for the Troops will be hosting their Women Teeing It Up for Women Veterans event at Wilds in Prior Lake. Minnesota Lynx coach Cheryl Reeve will be the featured speaker, and Sisterhood of War, Minnesota Women in Vietnam author Kim Heikela, whom we've had on the show, will be on hand for a book signing. Great book. You've got to get a copy. And finally, join us for the Minnesota Patriot Guard Ride Saturday, June 16th. We'll be recording live in Ham Lake as the Patriot Guard raises funds to support the troops. For more information on all these events, visit us at facebook.com/Minnesota Military Radio Hour. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you would like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Commander John Fancher and Master Chief Randall Reed from the USS Minnesota, Mike Altieri from the Navy League, and Chip Langan from the Defense Alliance, Commissioner Larry Shelledow of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we travel to Ham Lake for the Minnesota Patriot Guard Ride, and we talk to a family with three generations in the Minnesota National Guard. That's next Sunday morning at 7 or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.